Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Chris Canty in for Key. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball blue bloods? Not is UConn a blue blood. Yeah, they're blue bloods.
Yes.
Are they on the Mount Rushmore of blue bloods? Jay has his list.
Since 99, they're the bluest of all bloods. How about that?
Are they on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball blue bloods? Jay left off Kentucky and UCLA. Do you? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. So UConn beat San Diego State for their fifth national title in school history. 76-59. They are the fifth team since the bracket expanded in 1985 to win all six NCAA tournament games by double digits on the way to the championship. And Chris Canty, they covered every game. And as you like to say, good teams win.
Great teams cover.
They
hurt me last night, though, because the over went over by 3 points.
Yeah, we both had the parlay.
I took the under. I took the under just because I thought San Diego State would have trouble scoring, which they did. I'm just saying, if you're UConn, you couldn't have held them to one less three-point attempt?
Yeah, but then they don't win.
Could we not kept that thing under 132.5? That's all the brother's asking. Yeah. I'm just trying to hit that come up.
Yeah, they still have won by double digits, by the way.
Well, they took care of that. They took care of the seven-point
spread,
took
care
and
of
I'm appreciative
easy.
Of that.
There was a prop bet on Matt Bradley, 12.5 points, which I was like, man, if this dude doesn't score more than 12.5, 8 last night.
Yeah.
8 for their leading scorer. Hit the under on that. I wouldn't.
Did you That's do well last night, Jay?
I didn't bet any money on the game last night.
Because you were broadcasting?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't hyped about the game.
Yeah.
I just wasn't. And sometimes for me, like, I still bet on games I'm not hyped about. But for some reason last night, I felt like I knew it was going to be. I felt like I was going to walk away knowing that UConn was going to win a chip.
Well, that's when you want to bet, though, ain't it? That's where you want to come up, Jay.
I know.
What
kind
of game is that?
But CC, I've been working all day.
Easy money.
But I ain't going to bet no money. What?
I only want to bet the money when I might lose.
No one ever.
Said me yesterday because I didn't feel like it.
You know,
I was moody.
I got you.
You know how, like, you know how we're always like, even in the women's tournament, oh, what happened with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark? Oh, it's too bad that stuff happens because we can't just kind of, oh, shut up. We love when the other stuff happens, too. See, this men's tournament, UConn, they just play good basketball the whole time. And what are we all saying? Oh, it's boring.
That's exactly what happened.
You want to get in the X's and that sports is storytelling. That's all. Well, the narrative. All the athletes like to say, oh, the media is caught up in the narrative. That's how you get paid.
But here's what's crazy, Max. It's not like we didn't know what was going to happen. We sat here on this show yesterday and said the men's national championship game was going to be anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Was it not?
It was.
Absolutely, it was. I mean, Iowa, South Carolina in the Final Four, and then Iowa, LSU in the national championship game. Those were the games that people were excited about. We knew what was going to happen, whether it was FAU or San Diego State going up against UConn. We knew what was going to happen.
What was that?
I asked everybody yesterday, I'm like, can you guys tell me like the biggest players on both teams? And everybody's like, I'm like, exactly. That's my thing. You know Caitlin Clark. You know Angel Reese.
Right.
Those names are well-known names now.
Hey, Jay, you know Dan Hurley, though, don't you?
Hello.
You know Dan Hurley. And that's what the men's game is really going to be about and has been about is the coaches.
That's the problem. That's part of the problem with college basketball. Mm-hmm. College basketball needs to get back to it being about the players,
mm-hmm.
right? Because what happens is now we've attached so much stuff to the coaches. You've had a lot of these coaches retire. Roy Williams, Coach K, Jim Boeheim. College basketball needs to find a way to get it back to the players being – think about ESPN, who we market. You get excited. Like, back in the day, you're like, oh, was Zion Williamson the last player that we really marketed as being, like, a star-studded player? Trae Young, maybe the last players that you really knew about on the national scene.
Be that as it may.
You
build
them up.
The reality is we do know the coaches, and Dan Hurley is a story. Here he is, coach of the national champion UConn Huskies, after the game. I'm bringing the latest national title to UConn.
I'm just mostly proud of the way that we've done it and with the type of people that we've done it, the way we, you know, recruit young players, develop young players. You know, we do it without cheating. We do it without without lying. You know, it's truly been building a program and a culture. You know, I'm lucky. I have the best coaching staff in the country that attracts these incredible, you know, types of players.
Jay, Max, before you go into your question that you're going to ask me, I want to dig into something here. And I want to go back to my point that I really think in order for college basketball to truly be celebrated, the game needs to be around the characters of the players. Now, I'm not saying I don't like coaches being characters. They are, right? But like, it goes back to this question about is parity good for college basketball? No, it's not. It might be fun for a year, but if you have no idea who the hell is playing for these teams, where's your rooting interest? If you don't have storylines to follow about who these players are and whether they're ascending or descending or about their backgrounds, yeah, you can sit there and tell me about Dan Hurley all day long, but that doesn't drive me to the TV to watch the game because I'm really excited to see how Dan Hurley is building out his X's and O's. Like, parity is not the answer. Like, you know, we heard, had Seth Greenberg on the show, and his most valid point was we need to get to 2-year contracts so we can build continuity with who these players are so you actually have a rooting interest in somebody to go to the TV and be like, that guy play DJ Wagner plays for Kentucky. Like, oh, I didn't know his father, DeJuan Wagner, was a top 10 pick.
Oh, he's a monster.
He played for Cleveland. I know his dad, Milt Wagner, played for Louisville. It's a family of studs. That's a story that makes me want to watch Kentucky play. I'm not going to Kentucky to watch John Calipari play or watch him sweat on the sidelines. We need players. We need dudes to build the game around because that will, as much as we want to celebrate Matt Bradley and Sonogo, who are great, you didn't find out about them, Max, until you got to the tournament.
But they're in the end. I just don't think there's going to be enough time to develop the characters that you're talking about, Jay.
That's why I said we need 2-year contracts.
Yeah, but then
let me tell you what's
then
not
going
to happen.
People are going to avoid going to college.
You're going to push the more talented players out of the
college,
ranks.
Totally.
Those guys are going to go to G League.
But not with the NIL deal. Not with NIL. Money's getting bigger than what's going to be in the G League.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, so but, like, I mean, but
you're,
it's not
you're
be,
building a business, Chris Canty, to compete with the G League in overtime elite.
Yeah, that's what you're building. Jay, it's not going
to
be bigger than a player playing 1 year in the G League or overseas and then going to the NBA.
Who's the top player in the G League, Chris Canty?
What do you mean, who's the top player in the G? I have no idea, Jay.
That's my point.
I have no idea. But it's not,
I know the name is Scoot Henderson. He's going to be a top draft pick, but you still don't know.
Yeah, Jay.
You don't know. But you would know the players in college basketball more so than you would know the player in the G League.
I agree.
If ESPN, if companies would get behind and market these guys.
Jay, I agree with you in terms of a branding standpoint. It makes sense for a prep player to go to college as opposed to going to the G League or going overseas. My whole point is if you get them to lock into 2-year contracts, well, what happens after that first year for a guy that's ready to go to the NBA? He has to stick around in college as opposed to a guy that's with G League or with
the
overseas. See, that's the point. As long as you're maintaining the one and done aspect of it, then guys would go to college. But my only point is it doesn't solve the issue when you come to character building because the best players are always going to be leaving the programs. Thereby, the fans are more invested in the coach and the twists and turns that his career takes as opposed to the individual
player. And the women's game
last night to watch Dan Hurley?
No, of course not.
You guys are just talking about it because this is the most poignant topic to talk about today. That's my point, though.
Well, no, it's a character.
It's somebody that we know, and Dan Hurley's going to be at UConn next year.
Right.
I understand. But were you guys talking about Dan Hurley this season? During a regular season?
No.
But the difference is,
he wouldn't even know UConn was in the Big East.
Jay, the difference is the women's game. Like, there are external realities that I don't know if you can fix internally, although your NIL point I think is a good one about, you know, with the men's game. But the external reality for the women is there is no league that offers them tens of millions of dollars on day one. So it's rules aside, even if you could jump straight into the WNBA, it doesn't matter because there's not the same incentive, right?
Mm-hmm.
The external reality, the incentive of the NBA or even overseas leagues is such that I don't know, no matter what you do in college, if it's ever going back to, you know, there's 2, 3, 4 years to get to know these incredible players.
I'm not saying that you need 2 or 3, 4 years to get – it just needs to be marketed properly. Like, and the games need to feel big, guys. Like, you need matchups. And that's where sometimes I think college basketball misses the mark. Like, we have flex games. Like, we used to do this for game day. Like, we literally had six games, and we'd be like, all right, like, well, this game isn't popping anymore. We should flex and go to the biggest game to build it up and storytell around who some of these kids are. We have not had players like that since we've had, like, guys like Trae Young and Zion Williamson. And that's all I'm talking
about.
It's the brand building around those guys.
Now I want you to answer the question. Why is Dan Hurley the right coach for UConn?
Because he's all about, I mean, he builds the right culture. He incubates the right culture, right? Like, he has pros and he lets them play, but he challenges them. And he's done this at every stage of his career, whether that's at a high school at St. Benedict's in Newark, New Jersey, which is a prestigious powerhouse when it comes to basketball, whether he was doing this at Wagner in Staten Island, whether he was doing this at URI. He's literally built consistency with the standard that he set at each place, and guys buy into that, man. I mean, guys want to be a part of cultures that get pushed so they can be the best version of themselves, and that's what he creates.
And since Jay likes talking about coaches so much for some reason, three-time national champion head coach Jim Calhoun will join us in an hour. Jay, just go over for the people so they can hear your Mount Rushmore of Blue Bloods, because people 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. You know, is UConn a blue blood?
I can't remember what I talked about the last segment.
What's that?
I can't remember what I talked about the last segment, Matt.
UConn,
UConn, North Carolina, yep. Kansas, and Duke.
And Duke. Right. Those four are on UConn, North Carolina, Kansas, and believe it or not, Duke is on Jay's list. Are the Blue Bloods on his Blue Blood Mount Rushmore?
Over the last 30 years.
No Kentucky with 8 chips?
Nope,
UCLA
not over the last 30 years.
Nope, chips?
Not over the last 30 years.
Is Jay a genius or a stupid idiot?
Last
tell him.
Last championship UCLA won 95.
Say ESPN. You know, my late great brother Sam used to say, every sports argument, the subtext is, how did you get to be so stupid? That's the subtext between any two people having a sports argument. Who's on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball, Blue Bloods? Plus, which NBA team has the most to gain in the playoffs in the West, KJM?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
People like talking about this Blue Blood, Mount Rushmore, Blue Bloods,
yeah,
Jay.
Yeah.
I said over the last 30 years, Max.
Jay got the right list.
But
Jay,
I think
Jay got this right. I don't think this is a list that can be argued. Like, these are the Mount Rushmore. When you look at the last three decades of college basketball, these are the premier
Once you do that, though, like, if you've gotten a chip in the last 30 years and before that you had the most chips ever, that can't count for nothing. It's got to count for something.
Who are you talking
about?
Who
would that be?
UCLA.
They don't have a chip in the last 30 years.
Yeah, they do. Oh, well, 30.
No.
Hold on. Let me do the math really quickly. Yes, they do.
It's close.
Yeah, no, they do. 28 years.
28 years. Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Slipped them in right under.
Right.
You have to change it.
Right.
But it is only one. And it's only one, and it's at the far end of that 30 years.
Yeah, we're talking about these teams having multiple chips in the 2000s.
Who's on your Mount Rushmore of college basketball, Blue Bloods? Mordecai in Raleigh.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. I would have to argue that I understand Jay saying 30 years. But if you're using Mount Rushmore as the criteria, as the gauge, If we can put ourselves back in 1941 and go back to George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, that was 150 years ago from 1941 to choose those literally. Presidents. So if Mount Rushmore is your gauge, you have to go back historically. So therefore, I choose UCLA instead of UConn.
Yeah, well, I'm creating the new Mount
Captain
Rushmore,
Literal Man.
Yeah, a little too late.
Mordecai, Captain Literal Man. You don't have to do all of that, bro. Like, you understand what we're trying to do. You understand the assignment. What we're trying to figure out is the top four blue blood programs over the last 30 years.
And also,
because
Mordecai,
that makes you relevant.
Mordecai,
UCLA is not relevant right now in the landscape of college basketball.
Wait, is Mordecai still there?
Relevant, just not.
I mean, not at this level, Jeff. Okay, you know what I'm
Mordecai,
saying?
Mordecai, even
not
just think this through, even if you're being that literal, you'd have to do it proportionally. So you wouldn't take literally the number of years between 1941 and Thomas Jefferson. You would make it proportional to the history of college basketball.
I don't think proportionality has anything to do with it. I think history has something to do with it because, again, you're using Mount Rushmore as your gauge.
No, your reasoning is not good. The logic is not good. Even by your standard that you're trying to set up, it doesn't work. No. AJ in Connecticut. You're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, fellas. I agree with Jay's take on the Mount Rushmore. Obviously, I'm a UConn fan, so I'm a little bit biased. But it feels like before this win, Villanova was still getting more love than UConn, and I think we had four and they had two. And I just don't understand why that was happening, despite the fact that if we're going based on championships, we were 4-0. You know, they obviously won two. But we were the better team, I think, over the last 25 years.
So Jay, two-time player of the year. What do you have to say?
That's a great point.
Well, number one, because it was Jay Wright who won both those championships. It was the manner in which they won it with Chris Jenkins, maybe making one of the greatest shots the NCAA tournament has ever seen, while UConn moved to the AAC, which kind of got lost for a while. It was like nobody knew where UConn was. So I'm not saying it's right. But these are all factors. And by the way, it was the way things went down with Kevin Ollie. Like that was a really big thing in the Connecticut area from somebody who lives there. It was, you know, like I said before, one of three black coaches to ever win a national championship who literally filed a lawsuit to get back his $14 million of a salary. So it wasn't until Dan got in there that you felt like it started to trend in the right direction.
Chris,
so
I don't know if someone comes at me and says they're a one-time player of the year, they're better than Jay Will. I'm going to say, wait a minute. Jay Will was a two-time player of the year.
Yeah. See, to me, it matters when you start stacking up them championships and the time frame that UConn was able to do it. It's a legitimate argument and why they should feel like their program is slighted. Maybe there's a little bit of a recency bias.
Yeah.
Just because you're talking about, 2016, 2018 when Villanova won their chips?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We
talked about narratives, right? What media members love about narratives. What's right about, what's wrong about the George Clooney of basketball? You know that's what people were calling Jay Wright, right? The George Clooney of basketball. Villanova basketball, the guards that came out of there, the shots that they made, it just felt like all that momentum until Jay retired abruptly last year. You're like, wait a second, you're retiring? Like, you could have gone doing this for another 10, 15 years. So I think it's the power of Jay Wright as well.
You know, the other thing about, like, you talk about you talk about Blue Bloods. You talk about a program like Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking earlier about how much does having an iconic player making iconic plays who then goes on to have a successful NBA career affect it all? The fact that Nova, when you think about the biggest upsets in sports history, right?
1985,
Yes, 1985, against that Georgetown
team. But that's
team.
What we were talking about. How much do iconic moments and iconic players factor into whether or not a program is a blue blood? And I think that part of the math tilts in Villanova's favor, which is why a lot of people associate them with being a blue blood more so than UConn, even over the last two decades. UConn has had more success at a higher level in the sport.
Vito in Staten Island. You're on KJM, ESPN Radio.
Guys, with this question, Mount Rushmore of college basketball, I grew up thinking Duke, Louisville. I grew up thinking, put them on the map, Georgetown. And I'm thinking, go with UCLA. How do you like that for Mount Rushmore?
I like UCLA on Mount Rushmore, personally. Yeah. I just think, It's hard to talk about the history of college basketball and leave them all. They got the most championships.
They got the greatest
by far.
Coach
they got the greatest
time.
Coach. They have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Walton. And it's hard. I can't leave.
Yeah,
I can't
Max,
leave UCLA off of mine.
You're talking about 60 years ago?
Yeah, seven, but they have 50, one in the last 60, 30 years. They 50, do have that 60, one.
50, 60 years ago since the glory days of the program and sustained
Max,
success?
All right, UCLA, you got 2 years to win another one or I can't keep going.
So right? You can't keep
Max,
camping for
who's
them,
your Mount
man?
Rushmore then, Max?
What's
who's
up, Jack?
Who's your Mount Rushmore? You just said you can't leave them off. Now you got to give us your list. Don't
yeah, he opened the door.
Hold you accountable. I'm going to be Dan Hurley of the show.
UCLA.
Yep, writing this down.
Kentucky.
You have to. If you Duke, put UCLA up there based on his criteria, yeah. Kentucky's got to be on there.
I'm like unimaginative. I'm just going number of champions.
Right, that's all
Duke,
you're doing.
Because the next one out of my mouth is North Carolina, actually. Okay, is North Carolina. Yeah, I'm in it. So like, I'm one of those guys, I guess.
Like traditionalists. Like, you're like, yeah. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just can't do it yet. You're probably right. I can't do it yet.
Well, we're going to need for you to get to that place, Max. Embrace
Pretty
the
Two
realities
I'm giving,
of college basketball today.
I'm giving the Bruins
chalk.
2 years.
You're going chalk. There you go. All right.
Damn. Paul and Raleigh, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
What's up, guys? Good morning. Huge show, the fan. I'm going to take it back to the one-and-done comment that Jay made with the two-year contract. I mean, I think that's a great idea, but how do you reserve that right for players if they're signing two-year contracts? Like, is that just for 5 stars or 4 stars, or do you find another way to work that in?
Well, I couldn't hear his question.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, how do you work in the one-and-done with the two-year contracts to build branding and culture in the NCAA?
Well, they're two different things, right? The two-year contract could be with the school, whereas the one-and-done is with the CBA. So, I mean, you could still go to the league, you know, that you just forego your two-year contract.
So what you're saying is it's a two-year contract if you're playing college basketball. If you stay in college basketball, you have to stay at that program for 2 years. But if you want to jump to the professional ranks, you can leave after 1 year.
Yeah, you can go. I'm just saying you wouldn't be able to – I'm just going to leave and go somewhere else.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like, you get my thing rid of the transfer portal aspect of it and how NIL pulls guys
you
to different programs.
You can still utilize a transfer portal. I just think, you know, you should have one time to transfer.
Yeah.
And there should still be some kind of, especially if you're making money, you should have some kind of time allotment where you just have to sit for a second.
Yeah.
It can't just be like another coach can recruit. Because what's happening right now, guys, is in warm-up lines, I've heard people say this, in warm-up lines, coaches are reaching out to kids saying, you should be coming. Are you not happy with your playing time? You should come play with us. So guys are being recruited literally off other kids' roster, other guys' rosters, and that's not right.
Yeah, and to your point, Jay, I think if you do have a two-year contract and you're talking about good but not elite-level players hanging around college basketball for multiple seasons, then those players fans start to have more of an association with those players in those programs, thereby building the characters, having more character development beyond just the head coach at that school. So I like the idea
Me
of
too.
It. I'm just not sure that from a practical standpoint it's going to matter much in terms of moving the needle with fans.
It does create an incentive, though, to get what you want.
It does, but I'm not quite sure that it's going to, in practice, achieve what Jay wants it to.
All right, what needs to happen for the Lakers to make a deep playoff run? Speaking of Blue Bloods, we'll ask a guy who used to fly on the Lakers team plane in the 1980s. KJM, ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LectricEbikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Chris Canty in for Key, and we are joined now by Rob Lowe. Look at this. Rob Lowe, I've been watching you in movies since St. Elmo's Fire, probably.
Yeah, thank you.
Is that on your... What's your Mount Rushmore of Rob Lowe movies? Before we get into anything else.
Jeez Louise. I got to go St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes, got to be
my very first movie, The Outsiders.
Great movie.
Right?
What a cast in that movie, by the way.
It's
everybody.
That was the Mount Rushmore of young actors.
Yes. No, more than the Mount Rushmore. There weren't four. There were like 40.
Yeah, there was a lot of us. The Austin Powers, mm-hmm. that.
There you go. Yeah. Solid.
Maybe Tommy Boy, a little comedy.
Personal favorite there.
Right? Yeah. Fat guy in a little coat.
Love it.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Look at that. Not just a handsome face, he can say.
Yeah, look at this. Rob Lowe has created and stars in Unstable alongside your son, huh?
I know. What a dream to work with my boy. He was always a great writer all through school. All through college, and he and I together created this show where we play versions of ourselves. He started trolling me online, like, viciously, and it became a thing. Like, people kind of liked it. It was news articles written about it, and it became such a thing that he said, Dad, we should figure out a show based on that, and the result is the show.
Well, the series
on Netflix right now.
Yeah, okay, so it's on Netflix on March 30. Wait a minute.
No, it's
Wait
on
minute.
Now. It's Wait on minute. Now,
it's
baby.
On now.
By my calculations,
it's on now.
The New York Times, by the way, it's obnoxious.
I mean,
comedy gold.
Come on.
How that's pretty
well,
good.
Here's what's great about yes. it. It's like I continue to have to father him, and he calls me and goes, Dad, I read the New York Times. So that's like, good, right? I was like, John Owen, let me tell you something. You might go another 20 years in your career before you get another headline like that. Yes, that is good.
So, Rob, how are you and your son, how are you guys alike and how are you guys different? What's been this process for you guys working together, father and son relationship-wise?
Well, the good news is we're very, very different people, and that's the basis for the show. But we also have the same kind of taste and brain. So as having him as a executive producer, it's great because I know he can handle all kinds of responsibilities on the show, and I know that he's got my back and that we have the same taste. So it's really like having a fantastic partner.
Yeah, I remember a show called Dr. Katz. It was a cartoon.
Oh, yeah. Is that Lovitz?
No, but it was, I think, Katz, right? Like, what's his name? It wasn't John Lovitz, right? But the idea was a brilliant idea because he has all these stand-up, he's a shrink.
Yeah.
And he has all these stand-up comics come, and they're on his couch basically doing their stand-up routines.
Yeah.
And he also has a son on it, but it was based on himself as a younger guy, right?
Yeah.
But this is actually you and your son's relationship, which is interesting, I think, in sports because we see now a lot of second and even third-generation athletes. Where's Bronny going to go to school?
Oh, yeah,
Bron wants to play with him, all that.
I'm so down for watching all of that. I'm obsessed with where Bronny's going to go and Charlie Woods.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in a moment where we could have some amazing. We've always had second and third generation people, but right now it feels like it's like a draft. There's a good crop coming up.
Yeah, Rob, what's the advice that you've given your son in that regard, and what you would give to the sons of those famous superstar athletes, like in terms of trying to make their own way, make their own name?
The one thing I give them is you can only be the new kid on the block once. So, you know, it's like as you're having your moment, you know, make sure your choices and your how you lead your life and the decisions that you make know that they're going to have a consequence because people get introduced to you only once and they'll make an opinion. And once that opinion is made, it can be hard to change. So I try to tell them, you know, if you're having the moment, like let's, you know, do your thing. And my son's having that right now. And
because you came in as like you were in dramas, as you know, in St. Elmo's Fire and The Outsiders were like heavy dramas, right? And then
and I was a kid. I was like 18, 19, 20, and I didn't have anybody tell. I was making it up as I went along.
Then you, you, know I mean? You transitioned
like,
to
right, whatever.
So did you have the conscious choice, as I want to do comedies now? Or is that how people, or is that like you?
That what happened was I hosted SNL for the first time, and Lorne Michaels, God bless him, took me under his wing, and he and Mike Myers, who was on the cast at that time, we had such a great relationship on SNL that Mike wrote Wayne's World. We did Wayne's World together. Right. Was the first one, and then on and on and on. But that's it was my foray into the SNL world that really started my comedy stuff.
Yeah. Now, Rob, I know you're a huge Colts fan.
Yes.
And our ESPN draft analyst Todd McShay came out with his latest mock. He had your team trading up with the Arizona Cardinals to the number 3 spot
to take
Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson. How do you feel about that?
I like that. There was obviously a lot of buzz yesterday going around about Lamar Jackson, and that feels like it would be too expensive for the Colts, I think. But, I mean, obviously that would be insane.
Oh, yeah, no
insane
question.
Insane to have him. But, yeah, I think that's a good pick. I mean, the Colts, as the quarterbacks go, so go the Colts.
Yeah, and they've had a lot of quarterbacks to come and go. Five different starting quarterbacks over the last 5 years on opening day.
That's right.
Not great, Bob. Not great.
Yeah. Rob, are you a fan of Jim Irsay and the way he runs the organization?
Jim Irsay is an old friend. He's an old friend of mine. Jim Irsay did an episode of Parks and Recreation.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
That's right, yeah.
So it was great. He opened the stadium up to us. We were in the writer's room on Parks and Rec, and I was like, I think I can get us in Lucas Oil Stadium. They're like, wow. I go, hang on. And so Jim was on, and we had Luck was there. He threw a great touchdown pass to Chris Pratt, who caught 6 of 6 passes, by the way. Pratt's a beast. So, yeah, I love Jimmy. He's a total character, and I love characters. And I love those Colts. Maybe this will be the year.
We teased you coming on the show by saying you were on the Lakers team plane back in the day. What was that like?
Well, I remember when they used to fly commercial. I flew commercial with the Lakers. And the captain, and he'll always be the captain to me, Kareem, it was the greatest move I ever saw. You'd get on first. And then to fit in all 7'4" of the captain, he just put a blanket over his entire body like a ghost. And just sit there as people would walk in. Completely covered with those like yellow, disgusting American Airlines blankets.
But it beats talking to all the people gawking at him, right?
Yeah, it was a baller move. Those were I love that era of the NBA. And those are still my homies. Everybody who came up in that era, I mean, the league is obviously still amazing, but it's a very like everything's different today. And I think we're all fans of the music we grew up with, you know, whatever. And that era, I was so blessed to have a literal courtside seat at. It was spectacular.
Oh, what a time. Oh. What a time.
Yeah, probably
stories off here that we could have.
Oh,
what a time.
Any era in basketball history, that's the one to be in the middle of.
Well, I mean,
the Showtime Lakers.
Don't you think?
Yeah. That's number
Showtime
one.
Showtime Lakers, Detroit Bad Boys, the rise, just starting of Michael.
But where would you want to be? You'd want to be in L.A. for Magic Johnson, Showtime Lakers.
I mean, Magic at that time with the Lakers, they saved the NBA.
They did.
Yeah.
Saved the
league. That's why there are TV shows and docs and every time you turn around and books being written.
I'm so down for season 2 of Showtime.
Oh, I can't wait.
So down.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Winning time. This is a true story, Rob. I was doing Afternoon Drive in L.A. I had just read the book that the show was based on, and I thought to myself, I swear to you, I want to talk about this. I want someone to make this into a show. I just want to watch this show. Talked about it, whatever. The series comes out. I watched the first couple episodes. Oh, my God, I'm hooked, right?
Amazing.
So I look up an article on the guy who wrote it, and he said, I was listening to L.A. Sports Talk Radio, Max and Marcellus at the time. I swear to you.
Look at you.
And he was talking about this book. It worked.
Look at
Max. All you have to do when you're on in L.A. is talk about something that's good. If someone will make it into a show or a movie.
That's incredible, Max.
Yeah.
That you're taking credit for winning time.
Thank you.
It's unbelievable.
Like, you know how Jay does the humble brag about stuff?
Yeah. So this is your version of
that.
Rob, before we let you go, I got to ask you this. Because you're a Lakers fan. I'm a huge Lakers fan,
too.
I fell in love with the team in the era that you're talking about, Showtime. And so how are you feeling about our team this year? Because it feels like this is starting to come around at the right time.
100%. I mean, I think there are some moves we needed to make. It feels like get Rob, my doppelganger, Pelinka.
Right on the deal.
Yeah. I think I could come in secretly for a week and run the Lakers and nobody would know the difference. And I may. But I feel like maybe it's too little too late, but we're going to find out. That's for sure.
Rob Lowe created and stars in Unstable alongside his son, John Owen Lowe. The series is streaming on Netflix.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for joining us.
Congrats on that series, too.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
We are a little over 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. Todd McShay joins us to discuss whether Anthony Richardson will, in fact, put himself in the discussion to go first overall. KJM.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
When you watch Anthony, he's just different.
You know, just trying to showcase my own talent. You know, I can't be consistent and accurate, so I just try to showcase that a bit. And you know, just showcase my arm strength because everybody knows about that as well. So just trying to do those things.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Rob Lowe, right there for the Showtime Lakers. If you want to talk about a time to be alive, especially in the mix on the team plane in basketball history. Look, to me, the Jordan Bulls are the best, and people talk about the Knicks with Clyde Frazier and all that.
Yeah.
But the place to be was the Forum in L.A. for the Showtime Lakers.
Let me tell you something.
Right in the middle.
I would have never made it out, Max.
I was about to say the same thing, Jay. I would have never made it out. The 80s with the Lakers and partying with Dr. Buss and Magic and them. Ain't no way I'm making it out the 80s. No shot.
I was already things I shouldn't be doing in 2001. Imagine if I was back then with them.
What a
time,
Jay.
Do you know what a cool cat Dr. Buss was? Not only did Dr. Buss, who was, by the way, a brilliant guy, right? Like literally a doctor. So Dr. Buss not only was doing all that, he said, you know what? Usually no one does this. I'm going to win, but I want to win a certain way. I want to be crowd-pleasing. As soon as you try to win a certain way, you're handicapping yourself because another team's just trying to win. He actually not only won a certain way, but won more than anyone else by far that way. They got 10 championships in his lifetime. 10 out of like 30 years. Guys, when he bought the team, the Celtics were on 13, the Lakers were on 6. It was never going to catch up. No one was ever going to catch the Celtics. He did it.
Well, Max, here's the beauty in his genius. The way that he innovated in terms of the style of play that he wanted his team to have is what you see people doing now. The wide open, you know, up and down pace with the NBA and being able to spread the court, being able to have the highlight reel play. Like, that's today's game. And he was doing that back in the 80s.
By the way,
think about how ahead of the curve this dude was.
He was legendary too, CC, because he made like the game of basketball about entertainment.
Yes.
Like it was still about, but it was more so about entertainment, lifestyle, the people you saw when you got there, the dancers, that whole ensemble around the league. Like it made LA feel different. Like I remember as a kid, I'm like, I want to be in L.A.
And by the way, he just loved sports, too. He was a fight promoter. Yeah. He used to see Dr. Buss sometimes on the Southwest flight to Vegas from, like, you know, with a bunch of people. Like, he loved the fights. He loved, you know, they own various teams. If you watch Winning Time, which I know a lot of the old Lakers are mad at, right, because it's because it, they feel it's exaggerated or doesn't put – but I think
it's highly entertaining.
Highly entertaining.
Whether it's all the way pinpoint accurate or not, that's besides the point. We're not going to let small details get in the way of a good story.
Not to mention the cast and the Lakers story
during that time might be one of the best sports stories of all time.
By the way, how do you even cast someone like Magic Johnson? The kid they got to play Magic Johnson pulls it. He's interpreting
the character. He's incredible, man.
But it's one thing to just do a straight imitation. It's another thing to do an interpretation that's so good that you don't even think you're not watching Magic.
Yes.
It's insane.
It's incredible. That whole series it's incredible, man. It really is.
I got to tell you, though, CC, there's only one Uncle Buck, man. There's only one Buck. It's I don't care who interprets it, Max, who impersonates
it. That's fair.
Were you under the impression that I thought he was actually Magic
Johnson? No. I'm just saying, like, from like being around Buck, like, and seeing the way Buck moves and seeing how he's still that guy in Hollywood, like 40 years later, like, and it's at an even higher level. I'm always in shock. Like, I'm always, like, in amazement from him.
Yeah, he's born to win.
That's magic, man. He's still magic.
Yeah, you got the Midas touch. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a Lifetime Achievement Award when I was doing Get Up and he walked into the studio and dapped me up and knew who I was. I was like, Magic Johnson knows who I am?
But see, he has what...
It was just like...
He has what some of the great quarterbacks have that I've noticed when you're in their presence. Magic walks into a room. This has been my experience. Any room he walks into, he has everyone believing or not believe. He has everyone wanting to be the best version of themselves, to live up to how he sees you. He gives you the feeling that he sees your, like, I can't even explain it. And it's not about being starstruck. I've been in a room with most famous people in the world. Very few make you feel that way, but he makes you feel that way.
Yeah, he makes you feel comfortable. And I think that's a part of his charisma, man, which is
not
why,
just comfortable, but like you want to fulfill some lofty expectation that he has, that he sees.
There's certain people that when they walk in a room, they feel bigger than the room. And you feel that. And then there's some people that feel bigger than the room, but they invite you to be just as big as they are. Like, that's magic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's magic. Like, whoa, wait, you're talking to me like I'm as big as you are? You want to know about me? What is this? I've never seen this style before.
Yeah, and that's the intangible that ingratiated him not only with that team, but with fans across the country, and that's what resurrected the NBA, because you're talking about a league that was on the verge of insolvency. And now it's a robust entertainment product.
But by the way, then he did things like, I mean, this really happened. He was a 19-year-old rookie. Wins the national title. He's 19 years old in the NBA.
Yeah.
So he turns 20, like, during that season and jumps because Kareem gets hurt at center in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
In what turned out to be the deciding game. He's the point guard. He's jumping at center and gives you 42, 15, and 7. Or whatever it was, something like that.
But Max, it's moments like that competitive greatness, being at your best when your best is required, why Magic Johnson is in my top five players of all
time. It's so unlikely that we ever see a teenager in his teenage season where he turns 20 have an NBA Finals game. When's that ever going to happen? If the guy does that, one day he can be the kind of player who can make it to the final. He's 28 years old. He did it when he was a teenager. Does San Diego State's run prove why the NCAA should expand the tournament field, KJM?
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.